Hey, attainable listeners. It's your host, Amy Powell here. For those of you who are new to the Attainable podcast and don't know me yet, I am a life coach specializing in happiness. I help individuals identify what keeps you stuck and learn what makes you happy so that you can plan and live a joyful life on your terms. I truly believe your version of happiness is 100% attainable, and it's my mission to help you discover and live yours. You can learn more about me and follow my story on Instagram at attainable_AF. Look forward to seeing you there. And today I'm speaking with Anna Bjorkenvall, CEO of Luxme, a social impact clean beauty brand founded by late award-winning social entrepreneur Lila Jana. Anna shares with us Lila Jana's legacy along with her very own journey that made her the dedicated clean beauty junkie and purpose-driven CEO that she is today. In this episode, Anna gives us a behind-the-scenes look into her daily beauty regime and dives deep into how her career lifestyle has helped to maintain her life happiness. Let's go. Hey, Anna.
Hi, Amy. How are you today?
So good. Welcome to the Attainable podcast. It's really great to have you here.
Wow, thank you so much for having me.
We had such a lovely conversation about a month ago, and since then I've scrolled through Luxme's website and Instagram feed several times, and I continue to find new information around the social and environmental impact that Luxme's original founder, Lila Jana, pioneered, and now how her legacy is living on through what the brand stands so strongly for today. And I'd really like to start there to give listeners a glimpse into your world. Tell us how Luxme was created and what the brand stands for.
Yes. So like you mentioned, Lila Jana, a social impact serial entrepreneur, founded Luxme in 2015. She had originally started another social impact brand in the tech AI space, essentially putting computer centers in rural parts of Africa, teaching young women and adults how to use computers and teach them basic computer skills, connecting them with Fortune 50 clients such as Google, Microsoft, and Tesla through the highway of technology and high-speed internet. And so she was already going back and forth to Africa a lot. Sama Source, this other tech AI company that she founded, was started 10 years prior to when she started Luxme. So she was traveling back and forth a lot, and at a local market, she just stumbled upon Nilotica, which is this superfood nut that grows wild in northern parts of Uganda and South Sudan. It's been traditionally cold pressed into this really rich and healing skin butter, and she tried it on her own skin and just saw the transformation herself and thought, wow, I need to start another company. Applying the same type of gig work model that she pioneered with Sama Source. So we're really based on this foundation of work at the core of human dignity. Obviously, handouts and donations and foreign aid, the whole nonprofit space definitely plays its a very vital role and plays its part in this movement to create global change. But we really believe that having an employment, having an income, really stands at the core of positive progress and impacts and addresses so many of the other global issues that we're trying to fight downstream. So with that, she was using this vehicle of ethical and clean skincare backed with this give work model to create change in the world. Then also realizing that through the preservation of these natural resources, such as these Nilotica trees or other rare botanicals, that we use in our formulas, we can actually positively impact climate change as well by giving the locals a financial incentive to preserve the biodiversity and in that way prevent deforestation and habitat loss for animals. You can really positively impact climate change at the same time. So it really just was this beautiful marriage between wanting to do good for the world, but also, on an individual level in the clean beauty space. So Lila launched the brand, and we were the first social impact beauty brand to be pioneered at Sephora. So that was a couple years ago now. So it's definitely been an interesting journey. Unfortunately, Lila very sadly passed away earlier this year from cancer, way too soon, age of 37. So that, you know, she obviously left a tremendous void for us. But I know as well, I had her full support, luckily. And while she was in treatment, we had already, you know, talked about the future of the brand. So when the board, after her passing, approached me and said, you know, do you want to take this on officially, since I'd already been running things behind the scenes while she was in treatment. So it was a great honor. And with that, you know, the Luxme mission continues.
Mm. It's so amazing, you know, when you think about not only having a product that is so sound and ethically sourced, ethically made, really, I mean, your skin is glowing, but also has other benefits for not only us as human beings and, you know, the people who are procuring the ingredients, but also really, you know, changing the world environmentally and socially. And when I think about other beauty brands or other products, not everyone does this because it's not easy. And what you have seen, what have been some of your biggest challenges to maintain the integrity of the brand? How have you seen that evolve over time and maybe even evolve in the industry over time?
Yeah, that is an excellent question. And it's definitely been an interesting journey of discovery for us, both for the brand and for me personally. I come from a background in operations. So I've always been intrigued by solving these type of operational puzzles and how to make things work. But I think this has definitely posed a different type of challenge to me. But it just kind of reflects this whole space, like you mentioned, the beauty space in general. There's definitely a lot of movement, and especially now with the pandemic, that is very positive. A lot of brands, they do want to do good. Obviously, there's some level of greenwashing on occasion. And many brands, they approach this type of do good movement in potentially a little bit more of a surface way. And like you said, it's a lot of the times from that logistical challenge. So obviously it might be an easier, a lower hanging fruit to go for a type of give back donation or plant trees or that type of initiative. But I think for us, we've from day one been wanting to go deeper than that. And obviously, yes, that does pose a lot of different challenges. I think for us, one of the major ones is because we were working with different regions of the world, harvesting rare medicinal plants that have been used by indigenous communities for generations, but are not necessarily well known in the West. And obviously for us, being, you know, a US-based brand, coming to these oftentimes extremely remote regions of the world, working with these grassroots vendors, there's definitely been a challenge on so many different levels. But I think as well, that's where coming into it with a lot of empathy and awareness of the cultural differences as well, because obviously, like for us, we do get asked that a lot. And I think it's a very important question and something that we keep on debating as well. How do we maintain that integrity and the sustainability on all levels? And obviously, like with brands that work more on in more parts of the developed world, obviously it's easier in that way because you can get, say, just reports and data in a whole different level. A lot of these grassroots vendors in these rural, remote areas, they might not have that type of technological sophistication and the tradition really to operate in that way. So I think for us, it's been being very conscious about these cultural nuances, going into this, like I mentioned, with a lot of empathy, leading this in a way that respects their culture and their traditions while making sure that we're doing this with a level of integrity that we want to bring to the project. So obviously, like for us, we've been trying to find a good middle way in that, leading the way, but without going in too much of with this type of white Westerner, white savior type of mentality. A lot of it becomes, you know, or we've definitely relied a lot on building these relationships over time. A lot of, or say, the majority of our vendors especially these grassroots vendors and women's fair trade cooperatives that we're working with, have been with us since day one of the brand. So it's, you know, been years and years in the making right now. And we really consider them family in a whole different way. So I think rather than, you know, you can approach this as like, okay, go in these rural areas, push for reports and push for the data to come out. But I think for us, it's, we're really just view this as, you know, these are an extended part of the Luxme family, and we really treat them that way and working with them in a long-term way so that we can really, you know, go there and visit and be with them and spend time in the field and really create these relationships in a long-term way. In that way, I think we've been able to really create this really amazing supply chain where, like I said, it's they're not vendors to us. They're like family members almost, you know. And it's, I just the other weekend I was talking to one of our grassroots vendors in northern Uganda, and you know, he is this an amazing small town producer, but it's like a father figure for all of us in the company. And just having these type of relationships, I think, are really critical. And I think that that's one of those things as well for other brands too, because we keep on, you know, harping the social impact message in general and how that can be applied to a wide variety of industries and businesses. The critical lesson, I think, is really to just approach it with a long-term perspective. Social impact and doing good and a deeper type of mission like that is not just something, you know, for a season or for a marketing campaign, but that is just something that needs to be part of the entire core of the business. And in that way, you know, by fostering these type of long-term relationships and partnerships, that just creates a whole different playing field for you. Does that make sense?
That absolutely does. And the word savior really stuck out to me. When I think about impact or talking about these kind of grandiose ideas, any type of impact, it's really not these big, grandiose things at all. It's all these small actions that happen to bubble up to this bigger thing. So all of the relationships you're talking about and really being present and going and talking to community members and talking to people, not as vendors, but as another human, right? And accepting them as family, as you get to know them. Those, all those small actions, that's really what creates the change and the impact. And it's so easy to think that these big gestures or these big ideas are the ones that really move you forward. And I love that you're really painting the picture around, it's not that at all. It's about all of these small actions and interactions that happen to build trust, to build integrity, to build these relationships that can then create deep change on many different levels. Less is more is coming to mind. And it's not these, all the things, it's just a couple things that need to happen in an authentic, genuine way. And that's it. And it's beautiful.
Absolutely. I think that that's one of those things I think we've all seen as well throughout the pandemic and throughout this past few months in general, where it's just going back to the roots, going back to the simplicity on all levels, not just in the business space, but personally and our material things and the way we live our lives. Yeah, definitely acknowledging the power of these human connections and bringing that authenticity and the human side to what we do. I think it's so critical.
And pivoting that to your product as well. There's not so many ingredients. Tell us a bit about the butter, because it sounds so unique and it sounds like there's, I mean, it really is one key ingredient that is creating this rich, lush butter that you've created.
Yes. Yeah, so Lilotic is the base for most of our product line. So like I mentioned, it's a nut that grows wild on these Nilotica trees that grow along the Nile River. And traditionally, then that's always been cold pressed into this one ingredient skin butter. And it's filled with vitamin A, E, vitamin K, the same antioxidants as in green tea, and 25% more essential fatty acids compared to traditional West African shea butter. So with Nilotica, because this type of bioactive compounds in it, we're able to really cold press it without adding any emollients or additives to soften the butter. So it just comes out as this really nice, rich, healing balm. So it's nice because you can apply it for a wide variety of purposes, as an overnight mask, as an intensive face moisturizer, as a healing balm for cuts and burns, as well. Like a lot of mothers use it as nipple cream or diaper rash cream on their newborns because it is one ingredient. So it's even safe enough that you can eat it. So in that way, it's like, it's, you know, it's been used in Uganda and in the region for generations, and people have been using it on their babies and on to treat all these different types of skin conditions. So it's a really wonderful product in terms of how it works with the body to rebalance, heal and hydrate. And in that way, also, like I mentioned, that we can create positive change through these women's fair trade cooperatives, where we can give work to marginalized women in the region that help us with the harvesting of these wild growing nuts, and then the processing of the nut butter. And in that way, then also with the deforestation and the habitat loss and preventing these trees from getting chopped down. Previously, before Nilotica was getting exported to the West, these locals didn't realize the power that these beautiful trees have. So they would get chopped down to sell for firewood for $1 a day along the roadside, or to clear their land for graze cattling. And in that way, you know, by giving them a financial incentive, they can really see that, well, okay, by keeping these trees alive, we can make more money than if we, for example, lease the land to a mining company or something like that. So it's a really powerful way to bring this type of ingredient that's been used traditionally to the West as well. I mean, it hasn't been exported a lot to the West previously. There was a brutal civil war that was raging in the area for decades. So the region was really torn apart by that. But using these, you know, using the sustainable harvesting of these rare botanicals and this type of nut can really create so much change in the region. So that is one part of what we do. Obviously, then we have other products with other rare medicinal plants, such as Nilotica. It's a really nice feeling when you apply something that is natural and knowing that it's one ingredient and has this really nice healing effect. So I can see it for myself. I've, for 15 plus years, had the most terrible skin breakout, super sensitive, tried, you know, all products under the sun and a million different super painful treatments and costly treatments as well. But it was really going to, when I landed on Clean Beauty and Nilotica, the healing power of Nilotica, and now I can get the chance to balance the skin in a whole different way. Yeah, it was really amazing to see the transformative effects, you know, on a personal level as well.
That's awesome. How has your beauty regime changed? And if you don't mind, sharing what your beauty regime is today?
Yes, absolutely. So I think for me, I've kind of piggybacked on this less is more sentiment from what we talked about earlier. I have really simplified my beauty routine a lot, because I do think as well, like, there is a lot of really amazing clean beauty products out there. And when you work with the body, so much amazing healing can happen. So for me, I start with cleansing. Right now, we don't have a cleanser out yet. We're working on that. But in the meantime, I oftentimes recommend other clean beauty cleansers. For example, Ursa Major has one that I really like. And then from there, I apply a serum, a face oil called Luxmi 33. Which is this really beautiful blend of 33 rare medicinal plants. The main ingredient there, one of the main ingredients, is tuca oil, which is a type of Brazil nut oil that we harvest from South Suriname in South America. So that is coming from this partnership with environmental nonprofit Conservation International, where we're working with a tribe in the Surinamese Amazon jungle, and purchasing their entire production of this tuca oil. The whole project, which is backed and overseen by Conservation International and the Surinamese government, enables this tribe to protect 235,000 football fields of Amazon jungle, and including the wildlife that lives there. So it is really amazing. And then, you know, split that up per bottle, it comes to about 4.8 football fields of Amazon jungle protected per bottle of this Lexan 33 base oil. So it feels really amazing just to be able to apply it to myself, but then also knowing that, you know, on a personal level, each consumer can actually be part of creating this positive change. So with that, I apply the Lexan 33 face oil after a cleanse, let that sink in a little bit, and then I apply just a little pea size of our Pure Nilotica melt, which is that raw cold pressed Nilotica butter.
Amazing. So you use that as moisturizer for your face as well.
Exactly. So that for the day, I apply a little bit of a thinner layer, massage it in. For night, I apply a little bit of a thicker layer of that and let it sink in as an overnight mask. That has really helped to heal my acne and to balance my skin, and as well, especially for colder climates. New York during the winters can be pretty brutal, but it's great to be able to keep the moisturization in the skin.
Love it. So just talking about happiness overall, and you know, really one of the core elements of being more happy, more content in life is really being connected to community, right? So having some social component and really being connected to nature as well. When you think about the work you do, is this benefiting you on a different level than any job you had had before, or, you know, working in a job that didn't have the mission-driven approach that Lexmi does? How do you feel about having this position that you do now, and how is that different than other jobs you'd had before?
I think for me, I realized pretty early on that I don't think I'm the type of worker that could just sit at a job and have that type of 9-to-5 experience and not really care so much about what I do. I think my background is a little bit of a non-linear path, where I moved to England on a whim by myself when I was 17. And one of my first jobs there, when I just landed in the country, was actually working for a casino, as a casino dealer randomly. And, you know, I was still very young back then, but it was such a good experience to have early on, because I could, you know, even though obviously the casino world can be a lot of fun, but to just be surrounded by money and seeing what that did to people in general was a very sobering experience. And I remember sitting at like these money counts at the casino, just piles and piles of money, and I just felt so disgusting and feeling like, you know, there are kids starving in Africa, and here I am, you know, doing something like that that just doesn't sit well with me. So I think after that experience that, you know, I had early on, I've always been gravitating towards brands and companies with a very strong mission, whatever, in whatever the field might have been. So for me, I think that's one of those things. I don't even view Lexmi as a job. It's a lifestyle for me and a passion. Even so, now, you know, when I'm honoring Lila's legacy and continue to craft the Lexmi culture, I think that too is a critical component of what we do. I don't want this for people to, you know, for our employees to feel that this is just a 9-to-5 experience. Obviously, like, you know, we definitely respect everyone's free time and all of that stuff, but just to feel that, you know, you're part of building something bigger.
Love that. Tell us what is upcoming for Lexmi and you want us to know about.
Yes. So there's definitely a lot of things in the pipeline for us. For us, obviously it's been a very tricky year, like it has been for many people now during the pandemic, but then obviously, you know, when we lost Lila, just a couple of weeks before the pandemic hit, really, it has been, you know, I'm not going to lie, it's been a challenging year for sure. Part of the challenges right now is things that we're working with. And then also just products in general, we keep on innovating our formulations and looking at new products coming out as well. I think for us right now, it is interesting because in the beauty space, there's definitely a lot of positive progress, especially now in the light of the pandemic. A lot of people are realizing what we're putting on our skin enters our bodies and can really impact our health in the long run. When we started, clean beauty was a lot smaller. And the traditional clean beauty buyer at that time was very savvy, knew everything about ingredients and formulations, and was very in tune with the social impact mission. And I think now, especially with everything with the pandemic, more people are waking up to that. Even, you know, more conventional beauty buyers are starting to explore clean beauty space in general. And with that comes a lot of new challenges for us, but very interesting challenges, because whereas conventional beauty products, which oftentimes are filled with chemicals and various toxic additives, they might have an effect on your skin right away because you apply it and then your body's like, you know, just freezing up by all of the chemicals, but you see a great effect right away because, you know, the skin is like a barrier, right? Letting things in and letting things through. But if you just put an iron curtain to that, nothing comes through. So your skin will look flawless, but you don't know what's being contained inside, right? Obviously it's a little bit of a simplified version of that, but I think in general, like, you know, when if somebody has been used to buying products like that with this type of instant effect right away, and they start to purchase clean beauty products, which traditionally have a little bit more of a longer horizon for them to work, there's definitely a lot of customer education that goes into that, of showing that, yes, you might need to like work with the body in a different way, like really getting, giving the body time to adjust and to balance. But once you do that, you know, the effects are more long-term in the same way. And how it just works with everything holistically. And, you know, it's not just skincare, it's wellness and the whole 360 approach to that. Because obviously, like if you're say eating clean and you're kind of clean on the inside, then you put clean products on the outside, there's a match and like that will work. But say for example, if you have a toxic inside and then you put clean products on the outside, your skin is going to purge that out and try to clean out the system through the skin. So then you might have, you know, initially breakouts and a little while before the skin can rebalance. Obviously then if you're kind of toxic on the inside and you put toxic products on the outside, that can block it. And then you'll have a match as well, you know?
Way, absolutely. I'm going to ask you our final question. What is one action listeners can take today?
Yeah. So I think one of those things, perhaps not just in the beauty regime, but just in general, finding social impact brands and supporting social impact brands. Like for us, like I mentioned, when you're using our products, you're fighting global poverty and climate change through your daily skincare habits. And I think for us, we really believe in that yes, use products that are good for you, that benefit your whole system holistically in the long term. But as well, I think there are a few things that give us nice of a glow to your skin as knowing that you did something good for someone else. So
I love that. That is something that makes you happier, knowing that you help people or you are doing something outside of yourself for someone else. Yeah. And
especially for climate change, I think there's just so few things that we can do on an individual level that it's not restrictive. It's like fly less, drive less, eat less red meat. You know, it's a lot of it is like live less. But I think that's why as well, we can find these small habits that you're doing already. Like getting ready in the morning, cleaning your skin, taking care of your skin and your body. And in that way, also fight climate change at the same time. I think that's when you create lasting change as well.
Lexmi is the answer. Anna, yeah. Thank you so much for sharing your story with us. This has been so educational, but also just so hopeful. And I love that you are a leader and pioneer in this industry, but also really influencing other brands. And I hope they're listening, because we need more brands out there like you. And there's a major shift coming and we're already starting to see it in the industry. So thank you for doing all the work you do.
Absolutely. Thank you so much. Take care.
Thank you.
Anna reminds us to seek out and support social impact brands, because when we support others just by buying products that we would be purchasing anyway, it makes us so much more fulfilled. Since we recorded our episode, I've been using Lexmi products, and it's incredible to see the transformation my skin has had. Social Impact Brands single ingredient products, Clean Beauty, I am here for it. The work Anna and her team are doing is incredible. Luxmi is empowering women in Uganda by providing them with work, protecting virgin rainforest and wildlife in the Amazon, and building deep community through their producers, vendors, and their overall mission. Let's make sure the brands we support are also supporting and empowering those who need it most. Using our dollars for good overall makes us happier beings. So let's be vibrant and support social impact brands. Let's glow.